is Fesco and Dusty.
I got Mahomes' balls in my hands.
On your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
Oh yeah, football, football.
From potholes to pop-ups, we got it covered.
Hey!
Here's Bob Fesco.
Take a bite out of my ass.
And Dusty Likens.
Big nuts.
Coming up later today, after the end of practice, Cody and Alex will be joined by George Karloftis.
There you go.
Georgie Porgy Puddin' Pie, as nice. Their former producer used to call it.
There it is.
Shout out Nick Schwartz. Hope all is well, brother. I'm with you spiritually, I promise. Always will.
Georgie, what was it?
Georgie Porgy Puddin' Pie.
Yeah. Kissed the girls and made them cry. That's funny. All the girls came out to play, and Georgie Porgy went away.
Big year for him as well.
I feel like it's better than Furious George.
Yeah, I do
too.
There's
not been any furiousness from that man in the last 2 years.
I just don't like the name Furious George.
He's not a furious guy.
No, he's not that type of guy at all. Like, furious would be like R. Mason Thomas. He's furious around the edge, right?
Furious would be Terry in Green Bay. Agreed with you, Dusty. If love knew the way out of a burning building, no one would follow.
Oh, overrated. God. Wow. That's Lord. Coming from somebody that has boots on the ground in Green Bay, though, Max. So I take Terry's thoughts over yours any day of the week. He sees it, man. He saw them not follow him out of a burning building. The Shopko was on fire.
Just fantastic
and he didn't go out
in that playoff game.
I would take Terry's opinion over Jim and I's.
I would as well.
That's for sure.
That's fair.
Caleb was better than him, though, in that playoff game. Yes?
I was going to say, made the bigger throw. You're right. Yeah.
Caleb Williams
has the clutch. Caleb Williams has the clutch, man. I'll give him that.
Yeah, but what color are his nails?
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. I'm loving it. Well, hello, everybody. Happy Wednesday.
It's the little things get people mad that crack me up. That is the sounder and the last reminder of our Fesco and Dusty poll question today, which was, whose arm would you rather have, Patrick Mahomes or Bobby Witt Jr.? The results so far are 70.4% say Patrick Mahomes' arm over Bobby Witt Jr.'s.
What was your answer, Bob? Did you say Mahomes?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No, that's fair.
But if Patrick Mahomes did play, let's do this real quick. Let's have some fun here. Normally we would have Matt Cotrero on today at 9 o'clock. He's not on the show today. He had a prior engagement.
He's getting a root canal done. 7 o'clock root canal.
We're like, do you want to do the show or do you want to do the root canal? He's like, I'll do the root canal.
Yeah, no, he said, he goes, I'll do it from the dental chair. I'll call it. I go, no, dude, just take the day off, man.
That's like, dedication.
You're going, that's because he's a great dude, right? Great like he's going through this root canal process right now, which basically is the season. And so now he's going to get a real root canal done. And I don't know if anybody's ever had one of those. I understand they're very painful. And so it's like Bill Cosby himself sitting in the dental chair. You know, so I think it would be good if we could have him call in with Mr. Thirsty in his mouth doing all that. But I was like, take the day off, Q. It's not a big deal, my man. But that's the kind of guy he is. Text me out of the blue. Hey, I got a root canal tomorrow, man. What are we going to do about the show? I'm like, just take the week off. It's okay.
You're good.
Go get your root canaled.
What did you think about that walk-off win?
Smoke.
Actually, call us after the root canal. We'll do an interview that way. That'd be kind of...
Yeah, with the Novocaine. That's what I told him. I said, you know what? Call in with the Novocaine in. That'd be hysterical.
But where would you play Patrick Mahomes in baseball? Would he be a pitcher?
No. I'd probably want him in the outfield.
Like right field?
Yeah, right field is where I would play him because of that arm. Yeah, gun people down at third base. I mean, you know, there was a guy who played in the 80s and 90s. Jesse Barfield had the best arm I've ever seen out in the outfield. It was just incredible. And that's kind of what I picture with Patrick Mahomes, too.
Okay. Bobby Witt Jr., where would you play him on the football field? Just for reference, he's 6'1", 200 pounds.
Defensive back?
Slot.
Exactly.
Stick him in the slot.
He'd be Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, like a little bigger.
He's not as big, but you could have him as like that little like...
A little taller than Christian.
Yeah, I would say he's taller than McCaffrey, but he's got to put on a lot of weight, too, if he was going to play in the NFL, obviously.
Maybe like a little taller Wes Welker.
Yeah, he'd need to put in like 10 to 15 pounds.
Yeah, yep.
Be about 6'1", 215, run the slot with that speed that we see from home to third or from first to home on a base hit single by Caglione.
Yeah, McCaffrey 5'11", 210. So yeah, 10, 15 pounds.
That would be nuts to see Bobby Wood Jr. get like a screenplay.
Dude.
I think he would get destroyed on the field, though.
You think?
Yeah, he needs to put on a lot of weight. A lot of. I mean, look at Christian McCaffrey and how just yoked he is,
yeah, he's
right?
Yoked, yeah.
I mean, that guy is, what did you say? He's 5'11?
210.
210. He's a brick, you know what house, right? I mean, he's square to the ground. He's a kind of a bowling ball type of guy. And so I think Bobby's too thin. If he was going to play in the NFL, I think he'd have to put on probably about 20 some pounds of muscle just to kind of get to where he's not going to get destroyed every single time. Yeah, you go over the middle, you get blown up, man.
A couple texts agreeing with you about defensive backs. Yeah. Someone says safety, which I really like him as a safety. Safety would be good.
I would rather have him as a corner because of that speed and the quickness that he has and the hands and stuff. I think he'd be a really good cornerback in man-to-man coverage, breaking up passes like we saw. Who was the guy yesterday, number 20 for the Chiefs?
That Noel Williams. Noel Williams.
Yeah, that's your guy. I mean, you have been as high on Noel Williams as anybody has been on a player since this guy got here. And yesterday at camp, I mean, and this wasn't, you know, the Chiefs video that they put out. This was from one of the TV stations.
Yeah.
And it was just clips of Noel Williams breaking a pass after pass after pass after pass. And
Lockdown. So
you think about Bobby a little bit, and he's got those quick hands. I mean, he could be back there batting down passes. So I think that would be kind of the position for him.
Somebody goes, you guys say Bobby needs to put on a lot of weight to play wide receiver while Xavier Worthy was 160 pounds. That is true.
Yeah, fair.
Somebody says Bobby could play quarterback.
That's interesting. I was just thinking we have Mahomes. We didn't need that. But, yeah, that's an interesting
but
one.
Yeah, not in Kansas City. Yeah.
Is that Kyler Murray size, 6'1", 200?
I bet he's taller than Kyler.
I think Bobby looks much taller than Kyler.
Because what is Kyler? They probably have him at 6'1"?
5'10".
Well, they don't even have him at 6 foot, Kyler. They couldn't do that. Everybody would know that's a lie.
Yeah, 5'10", 207.
Yeah, that's not big.
No, he's 5'10 a small boy.
As a quarterback.
Yeah.
That's always been the knock.
Yep. Him,
no,
Bryce Young.
Yeah.
Yep, small guys.
Yeah, that's crazy, though. 5'10". But Tua's got the best arm in the league, is what Tyreek told us.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
He said he was better than Mahomes.
Better than Mahomes.
And now you're begging to come back here and play for Patrick Mahomes because nobody else wants you?
That's like horseradish. Yeah.
What'd you think of the renderings?
I need more.
Okay.
Yeah, it just looked like the K, basically. Where was the city skyline and all of that? I wanted to see the city skyline, the lights, all that kind of stuff. Kind of reminded me a lot of Kauffman Stadium. The good news is the Crown was there because I had heard there was a time where the Crown wasn't going to be at the new stadium. So I did like the fact that the Crown was there because I know a lot of fans were saying, we need the Crown, we need the Crown, we need the Crown. And there was a time, I think it was the East Village version of this thing, where the Crown was not going to be part of what was going on. And then I think the downtown one, when they listened to Mayor L and screwed that whole thing up the first time around, there was not going to be a Crown at that one. So if this gets the Crown back, that's good. I like the fact that the Crown's back. I wanted to see more, though. I want to see more of the bells and whistles that we're going to see out of this stadium. It just looked a lot like Kauffman Stadium to me, I thought.
Which I think is interesting because if that's okay for you, though, right?
Because I don't care.
We were excited that the new Arrowhead Stadium is going to look like a lot.
I'm excited for the Arrowhead because of the bowl feature, and it gives the fans what they want. The sight lines are going to be good and all of that. So I think that's good. Yeah, I mean, if that's what they want to do, that's fine.
I think it's cool that they are putting similarities into the new wave so that you know the people that know it still see it, and the people that maybe didn't know it can be told, like, this is a lot what it used to look like. It's just a new, beautiful home. And I thought the renderings for the new Royal Stadium looked great. I thought that what they show when they announced that it was going to go in the area that it's going in, I thought those were great with the Western Auto sign that's now lit up again, the back to being Western Auto, with downtown looking, you know, down the street, and you've got P&L down there and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, people that I know that are in the distribution industry, when that stadium goes in there, they're like, Kauffman has a chance to just, or the new Royal Stadium has a chance to just be an absolute hit. Because of everything that's down there and like what they could do to it in the wintertime, I still think would be great if they did like
I got to have the ice skating rink. You're going into Crown Center. You don't have a choice.
I think that'd be awesome. I think that'd be a great way to do that. I mean, it'd be cool to, you know, we've been to the Fountains of Dreams where you eat dinner in center field and you're like, I'm literally eating a plate of food in the middle of center field where it's like, I'm literally ice skating, you know, out here.
Yeah.
Look, I'm Lorenzo Cain.
Yeah. Like,
you've
got to do that. That would be the coolest thing ever, to put an ice skating rink out there and do it for the holidays. Yeah. I mean, that's, people would love that. You know, people who are anti new stadiums and all that kind of stuff would love the ice rink for Crown Center.
You take Siobhan out there and go ice skating, would you, Mac?
100%.
Throw the scarf on?
Yeah, absolutely.
A little Burberry outfit?
You know it.
Better believe it.
Yeah, she's way better at that than me. But
ice skating?
Like, yes. I'm not good at that.
I did it once. We took a field trip out there. It took me a little bit, but once you get the hang of it, you know, I'm not a professional. I mean, I wasn't like Mark Hamill out there, like, doing a triple axle, but I was out there able to like hold my own.
Oh, it's hard, man. Whew, that's credit to you if you could do that. That, I mean, I got on skates recently, probably before COVID, with Denny, going out to play hockey with him and Ryan. Nope. Yeah. I'm out. We had somebody win a contest where they got to go play hockey with Denny and Ryan, and so we all went that's out fun. There with them, and like I knew I hadn't skated in a long, long time.
Denny skated?
Oh, yeah.
He's a hockey player.
Denny's one of the greatest hockey players you'll ever see.
That's cool.
Glove side. Goal. Royals lose 4-1. Trey Smith, Josh Simmons, both remain out of practice today. We'll get back to Chiefs talk on the other side here. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. It's Ken Walker III, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
So not so good news. Trey Smith, Josh Simmons out of practice. Maybe some good news. Tyquan Thornton looks like he's going to practice in full pads as he walks down the hill from videos that we see at Chiefs camp. Also, Alex and Cody, their last day. The last day for Drew Nixon to have some peace in the studio until his boys come back and do their show live here. This is their last day in St. Joe. So, Drew, you have company. No more porcelain dolls moving forward. As they'll have George Karloftis after practice today. Cody and Goal will have him with them after practice. So they'll have the defensive end, number 56, recently married this offseason. So a lot of content for them with George Karloftis up
at St.
Joe.
He married Travis Kelce? That's
mm-hmm.
cool.
He did.
That's
yep.
cool.
That's right.
Hello, America.
Wouldn't that be a story? With camp, you know, continuing to go, and tomorrow, I think, the last day for the team to be there, and the season starting to get going, I have to admit that yesterday was where maybe I was a little bit of fallen into a contradicting moment, because I always tell people, like, don't let the, let the videos overhype you, stay a little grounded. We're getting clips of practice, but yesterday when the Chiefs social media team, at least on Instagram, is where I saw it. Of course, it was on Facebook and Twitter and all their social media platforms. But there was that Mahomes play where he kind of ran out, stopped, planted, threw the ball to Rashee Rice. And I have to admit, and I admit this earlier, I was a little skeptical of like how much of Mahomes was back. And I knew that like throughout the season, we would see him progress, obviously more and more, because it'd be more and more time of, getting reps on that knee that he had surgery on over the offseason. But to think that he would have these, early flashes of being able to put us to rest easy, of being like, look, guys, look, it's an ACL surgery. I know he came back quick. He's different. He recovers better. Yeah, that's I love hearing that. That's great stuff. But I have to also, keep my ear to the wall and say, okay, well, no one else has really ever done this, like in this sort of time frame. So I am going to leave that as, the devil's advocate. But that video yesterday made me relax all the way. Now, I don't think he's going to be 90, 95% come game one, Monday Night Football against the Denver Broncos. And maybe I'm the only one in that camp, but I think anywhere from 80 to 85% is where he will be going into that game. And again, I love how the schedule lines up, because this is the first time in my life where I've been okay with the early bye week. You get Denver, Indianapolis, and then you get the Raiders and the Dolphins, and then you get a bye week. So you get a kind of a little bit of a powder keg schedule. I'm not saying that the Indianapolis Colts are going to be a slouch, but you get them at home on Sunday Night Football after playing Monday Night Football against Denver. Obviously, the first big test there, that defensive line, their offensive line against your new revamped defensive line in the division game, Monday Night Football, all that sort of stuff. And then you get that bye week in week five. And that's kind of one of those things where, the evaluation process with so many different things will be there. But after seeing that video and seeing the injury that he had suffered and knowing what it does, to the leg movement and how it's used, that put me at ease to almost, soft pillow, fan on, lights out, I can go to bed, rest easy, Mahomes will be there week one. I knew he was going to be there, but now I think that, even 85% of Patrick Mahomes is still better than many, 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 many other quarterbacks in this league.
Oh, no doubt about it. Yeah, you take an 80% Patrick Mahomes over probably 2,800% guys. Maybe you'd still take, you know, obviously Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, a couple of other guys in there. But, you know, an 80% Patrick Mahomes, is, yeah, he is much better than everybody else. But I think one of the things that we do need to start to look at, I think, with everything in life right now, is that things in the world, they're evolving and things are changing. And what used to be is not the case anymore. And we're always doing these, you know, used to be's with injuries, because that's what we were used to for all these years, right? Oh, somebody blows an ACL, you're not going to see him for another year. Somebody blows their Achilles, you're not going to see that person for another year. But the world is changing, the world is advancing, the world is rapidly moving forward, and we're finding ways to do things quicker, we're finding ways to do things faster, we're finding ways to do things differently than what we've seen in the past. And so when we say these injuries, we've never seen this before, yeah, you're right, we haven't ever seen anything like this before, but we have so many advancements in technology where guys are now coming back faster than they ever did. I go back to the Aaron Rodgers Achilles injury when he injured it carrying the American flag. They were talking, you know, erroneously, well, if the Jets make it into the playoffs, we could potentially bring him back at the end of that season and put him in there and he's going to play. And we all go, wow, it's an Achilles injury. You don't see that for, you know, it's usually a year that it takes place. But they have a lot of different ways to heal now and a lot of different things than what we were all brought up on. And so I listen to that kind of stuff. I'm like, yeah, there's been a lot of advancements in medicine right now. We've cured a lot of diseases. We have a lot of vaccinations. We have a lot of immunizations. We have a lot of surgeries. We got all this stuff to make us all better as human beings. And so why can't that be the case with football and have those guys or athletes in general just also get better faster? The other thing we're seeing a lot of change with too are these television ratings. People talk about that all the time. That's a rapidly changing thing. And so there's a lot of things that are changing right in front of us when it comes to sports. And that's why the injury stuff, I think where we used to be with all those injury things, I think that now has to be compartmentalized. You say, normally it takes this, but some guys now make it back faster because of the advancements out there. And that's kind of where I am. The Chiefs got great medical people as well. And they got a guy who wasn't going to give up. The patient couldn't have been a better patient to come back from this injury.
I think it does definitely give me some sort of clarity that he is maybe just like you had mentioned in that, you know, take that he is just freakishly different when it comes to rehabbing. And obviously shout out to Bobby Stroop, his personal trainer. You gotta be running through the wall for somebody like that to help you out to get fixed if you're in the NFL. Somebody mentions Adrian Peterson came back from ACL and next year and he dominated. That's for sure. Deer antler spray was the big reason why.
Was that the deer antler spray thing? Was that where that came from? Was Adrian Peterson?
I'm almost 85% positive.
I mean, I can't remember now where the hell that deer ant. No, it was Ray Lewis.
Okay.
I think it was Ray Lewis that had the original deer antler spray.
For like the elbow or the shoulder or whatever. Because I thought Adrian Peterson used it for the knee. I could be wrong, but I remember like when he like came back, it was like, we got to check this deer antler spray. Because didn't he come back from tearing his ACL and have 2,000 yards rushing?
Yeah.
It was something crazy like that.
Oh, yeah. The deer.
That was a huge thing.
It was.
It was like the turbo bats or all this stuff.
I'm trying to, Ray Lewis, 2013, the substance gained major attention ahead of the Super Bowl that year when Sports Illustrated reported that Baltimore Ravens linebacker Ray Lewis used deer antler spray from a company called SWATS, Sports with Alternatives to Steroids, to recover from a torn triceps. Lewis strongly denied the allegation. Other players, Heath Evans, admitted to using the spray.
Oh, Heath Evans.
Yeah, that's a blast from the past right there. So it was Ray Lewis who originally brought the deer antler spray into the NFL. I'm not seeing anything about
Adrian.
Yeah, Adrian Peterson. I'm sure they accused him of that at that time because that was the popular buzzword, like you said, like the torpedo bat.
Yeah. And again, update, Trey Smith, Josh Simmons not practicing today, just in jerseys, no pads. Tyquan Thornton looks like he is in pads, so that's a positive, I guess.
That's a big positive, hell yeah.
The hamstring that we talked about yesterday, because that was something that is kind of concerning to me with Tyquan Thornton, who does have a good rapport with Patrick Mahomes. So that last year is maybe the only guy that could really connect with him on the deep pattern. They brought him back this year. The hamstring, but again, in practice today, but that also lets me kind of see like what else Cyrus Allen can give us. And again, you know, going back to the conversation with Unicero and going back to conversations with other people that are around, you know, this team or follow this team a little bit more diligently than I do, I agree with that because there are times where we see like these small glimpses and we immediately are like, that guy could be this. You know, we go back to Caglione, right? Mm-hmm. Like, right in the minor leagues. Let's see his first game. Oh, he went over 3. I thought he was supposed to hit like 3 home runs. Well,
that Baez guy for the Cardinals hit 3 home runs in his first game and hadn't gotten a hit since.
That's crazy.
That's baseball.
Yeah, that is, in a nutshell, it's why the game is impossible.
And I think that's why this conversation holds, you know, some clout here, because I think it is safe to say that we can pump the brakes a little bit on Cyrus Allen, because I think kind of where Chris was at last night kind of showed some reflections on where Mac was at, because I was saying, do we have a wide receiver two battle? And Mac's like, well, we probably could after the first 4 weeks going into the bye. If Cyrus Allen goes out there in the first 4 weeks of the season, shows he can be trusted, shows he's got the vision, shows he's got the spatial awareness of where to be and the trust with Mahomes, then you go into the bye week going, all right, here's the first 4 games of real-time football that we have. Here's what 13 has done on the field. Here's what we think we can expect now that we've seen enough of a sample size. Whereas right now we've seen camp highlights and we saw one preseason game. But again, if they don't play Thornton in this week 2 game, which they probably will not, and Rashee Rice doesn't play and Xavier Worthy doesn't play, there's going to be one set of eyes that are going to be watching number 13 in this game, and that's going to be Patrick Mahomes, because he's going to be the guy, obviously, throwing the ball to Cyrus Allen. Yeah. And if he can see that Cyrus Allen is doing things out there with Justin Fields or Nussmeier or whoever it may be, Oladokun probably at some point, probably not with Cyrus Allen at that point when Oladokun's in the game, but with Nussmeier and Justin Fields, with Cyrus Allen being out there, that's when the wide receiver can help the quarterback, whereas on the sideline, the quarterback can help the wide receiver because he can put mental notes and then go to Andy Reid in their office and brainstorm, as those two nerds do with the football, you know, playbook, and say, hey, I saw Cyrus do this in the game. I really think we should do this. Like, there's always going to be steps. And that's what's perfect about, you know, rookies in the beginning of the season, is that Cyrus Allen has given us a lot of stuff to believe in, right? There's been a lot of, like, good things out there, not a lot of bad things out there, but we've seen this with camp people before, with Sky Moore, with Isaiah Pacheco, with, you know, John Baldwin, all this stuff goes on and on. But Cyrus Allen, in his first opportunity, held on to that belief. And now you're going to get another, you know, sort of sample size against Tampa Bay this week on Saturday at 6:30, where you're going to be like, okay, now what else can he show me? And eventually the what else is going to be a, I've seen enough.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And I feel like I'm there as well, because there was that catch yesterday, the left hand, or 2 days ago, dragging the feet. And that was kind of my, okay, no more to see here. This guy's got it figured out, right? I mean, that toe drag is impressive. That's not what a rookie is supposed to do. A one-handed, left-handed catch on the sidelines and getting your feet down. That was an insane catch. And for me, that was kind of that, all right, we're good here. I don't need to see anymore. And we could be all completely wrong about this. We won't know until the first game of the season how this is all really going to translate. But needless to say, there's not a lot of people up at camp right now that I've talked to that are trying to tell me to slow my roll on Cyrus Allen. You know, and I think that's a positive thing. A lot of times, like, it's practice. You know, you hear that a lot from people. I haven't talked to one person who's been like, dude, it's preseason, slow your roll. Nobody's saying that about Cyrus Allen. That's why the excitement's there for me.
Oh, for sure. Well, sometimes the eye test is true, right? Like, you can see the quickness. You can see his speed. You can see, like, I mean, they're showing all the routes. They'll show Rashee Rice, and then they'll show the next clip be Cyrus Allen, and you can see the difference in their route running. Now,
how do you think he got lost in the shuffle?
Good question. I don't know.
Thank you.
Played at Cincinnati.
Yeah, maybe playing at Cincinnati.
Maybe.
Yeah,
and that's not a shot at Cincinnati.
No, but you're not at Ohio State or, you know, Alabama. You're just not. It's not, you know.
It's just so much more rare to see that.
And that's why I tell people all the time, and this is a line I've stolen from people in sports over the years that have worked in high power positions in baseball and in football. If you're good, we'll find you. Don't pay these stupid amounts of money to play these club sports. I was talking to somebody the other night, $4,000 for their kid just to play soccer this year. He's 7 years old. $1,900 for team fees, $1,800 for team dues.
And you want to know why soccer doesn't work in the United States?
Well, that's exactly where baseball, all of it. You can't be doing $4,000 for a 7 year old to play soccer. That's insane.
No, it's absurd.
How we got on that subject? Oh yeah. How did Cyrus Allen
slip through the cracks? He had 13 touchdowns last year.
I know he slipped through the cracks. What I'm getting at is, my friend always used to tell me, and he still tells me to this day, if you're good, we will find you. It is our job, right? And that's why you have to credit the Chiefs on this one, because nobody else had Cyrus Allen. As Binkley has told us, he's never been to the combine. He wasn't at the Senior Bowl or anything like that. That is true 100% scouting right there where the Chiefs were able to get Cyrus out. No other team was looking at this kid. And he's there in the fifth round. She's like, we got to take this guy.
Yeah, are expectations too high at this point?
Maybe.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a good point, Mac. Yeah.
I think mine are pretty standard.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Because the bar isn't so high.
Oh, that's true.
Like, if you had, like, if this was Cincinnati, right? And they're out there be like, man, this guy could be the number three and compete with T. Higgins. I'd be like, okay. Like,
yeah, stop.
Let's relax here. T. Higgins is 6'4", tall ass dude that goes out there and catches almost everything thrown his way. Plus, there's Jamar Chase. We don't really need this guy to be like the conversation of camp. Like, we have, but you have Rashee Rice, who got his knee scoped and rehabbed while in prison. You have Xavier Worthy.
Just think about what you just said.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Literally.
It's nuts.
Xavier it's Worthy.
He got his knee scoped and then rehabbed in prison. No, that's true. Like, it just sounds like it's fake. It sounds like a fake story. It's so ridiculous.
And then you look at your other wide receiver in the first play at camp, dove for a ball and hurt his shoulder. And then what? Now your other wide receiver has a hamstring injury that's maybe lingering. And you can even go to further PTSD with wide receivers. MVS, Sky Moore, Kadarius Toney. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
As of today, this isn't being hyperbolic. You're taking Cyrus Allen, who's not played a freaking down in the NFL, over MVS, Kadarius Toney, and Sky Moore.
Yes.
The bar is low. So I think that's why some of that hype is there, because this guy looks like maybe, and then we saw the preseason. First play he gets, catch. Next play he gets, jumps up, reaches, high points it, comes back down.
Yep.
Cyrus Allen. Yeah, well, Nussmeier threw him that ball. Okay, but that tells 15. I know I'm, you know, probably going to be able to hit him right between the mouthpiece. But if I don't, I know that he has this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Mahomes had that with Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney and MVS. I don't know if he did. MVS underperformed as a Kansas City Chief. Had a really, really big catch that I'll never give, you know, not enough credit for against the Ravens AFC Championship game. Sealed it, sent him to the Super Bowl. Not going to lie.
Right.
But, I mean, you look at the past. Toney, Hardman, Moore, MVS, Juju Smith-Schuster.
This guy, like, I mean, shows you how good Mahomes is. And honest to God, I mean, when you're reading these names, sure. I'm like, oh, my God.
Tells you how long we've had this issue.
Yeah, it's been an issue in this organization, just like the power hitting outfielder has been for the Royals for 40 years. The same thing goes for the Chiefs. They've never been able to find that wide receiver. They've found one in 50 years, guys, and it was Tyreek Hill. And let's hope this is our second one, you know, or maybe the third, depending on what Rice ends up doing. But for whatever reason, this position with this organization has always been an abyss, just like the Royals could never find that. I'm sure every team, if you're in the city, knows that position that your team is always trying to get that they never can, you know, like, you know, you look around, maybe Arizona, it's the quarterback. I don't know. But those are the type of things that we just, for whatever reason, can't figure out from a sports standpoint in this town. We've been talking about, guys, I've been doing this since 2001 here. We've been talking about these two positions with these two teams for 25 years. So what is it? Is there something in the water?
Evaluation?
Yeah, I don't know.
Do you have any? We'll find out.
I just hope that, you know, for the casual fan, for our listeners who's on their way to work and listens for 20 minutes and goes, damn, Steve Smith likes him. Damn, he did this.
Yeah.
Damn, he did this. Oh, wow, he could be the number one. It's like, no, he's a fifth-round pick, and he's a rookie, and he's still going to start out slow, but he's going to provide pop, and he's going to help this team move the football down the field. There is no question about that, but I mean, Bob, you talk about this all the time. Like, oh, here we come, 1,000 yards. Like, no, that's not going to happen. Like, that's not Cyrus Allen.
No, 1,000 yards is a big number. Yeah,
800 yards, that's a big number.
Yeah.
Like, right, if this guy could give us 500 yards this year in his rookie season, be ecstatic. Ecstatic.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, that's what, I mean, if you can get, you know, 1,000 from Rice, 800 or so from Worthy, 500 to 600 from Allen, you're taking that every single day.
That's amazing.
You have the number one offense in the NFL.
Yeah, and that didn't even include Travis Kelce or K-9.
Yeah.
So the expectations are there. And yes, maybe we do have higher expectations, but we're also very excited about the start of the season. We're all acting like, I think Dusty talked about the other day, like Christmas, you know, the day before Christmas. We're all getting really excited about this team because we saw what happened last year. It stunk. We saw the moves that were made this offseason, got us excited again. Then we're seeing what some of these young guys are starting to do in practice. And we're like, oh my God, there's a good chance that we just restocked this dynasty.
Because I think everybody, when they saw that catch from Cyrus Allen.
Jeez, oh, Pete.
Yeah.
Yes. And I'm not trying to poo-poo anything,
no,
by the way.
I
really
like
Cyrus Allen, and I really think he could be great and a future wide receiver, too, in this league.
But you got to maintain long tones.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, you got to be cool on this one. Yeah, and if you just go in there and think this guy's going to run the world, then you're already putting, you know, you're already crowning this guy, and he hasn't done
anything.
We're
talking about Diggs and Nakua, you know, things like that. And it's like, oh, wow, great. This guy's, you know, it's like, all right, let's just chill out a little bit. But I'm very excited, and it looks like
comparing him to
best picks.
Yeah, comparing him to Nakua at this point in time is, you know, stupid. But Puka had all this kind of excitement when he first came into the league in training camp. Everybody was kind of talking about that guy,
and I think that's where similarities go, because fifth round
right. That's
course. Course. Exactly. Right.
And Tyreek was a fifth round pick. I mean, it's just weird that it's all little breaking news from our man Josh Klinger. He does know Cam Jones. He does. He says, a friend texted me, do you know Cam Jones? I said, yes, linebacker. He said, to tell you guys, I did know.
That's great.
Me and Kling, baby.
Let's go, Kling.
This comes from
you. Harry. Didn't know him.
I what?
Never heard of him.
I was telling you guys, he's a 2-time Super Bowl champion.
You read the tweet.
Exactly right.
Damn right.
Kiss my ass,
Chiefs expert. I have two things here. What do you want first? The report from Harold Koontz at practice, or a way to rage bait Jay Binkley?
A way to rage bait Jay Binkley. Come on now.
Okay, I just want to bring it up. Just have a conversation here. Don't let Bink fool you. Him and Chris did not like the Allen pick at the time.
Ooh. Do we have audio?
Oh, I'm sure we can find something.
Okay, so the fifth round was on Saturday of the draft, right? Because round one is Thursday, two and three are Friday, so the rest Saturday. So find the Saturday show or the Sunday show.
Is that going to mean Sports Best or in advance?
I would see Sports Best first.
We'll find that tomorrow because we're running out of time today.
Fair,
our lead tomorrow.
If we have Uno Cero and Binkley audio of them. Cyrus, I don't like the guy.
Route running's a little sloppy, a little undersized. Yeah, Cincinnati, I don't really know what he saw. You know, this guy could be a stud, man. Tell you what, yo, man.
Yeah, if we don't have it, though, you will record that tomorrow, and we will play it off as Jay Binkley.
Again, from the 913, don't let Bink fool you. Him and Chris didn't like the Allen pick at the time, and I know our text line is loyal.
And that's fine.
They knew Bob picked Denver, and Bob said that yesterday, 5 hours ago.
But if they said that, that's great. I love it. You're allowed to make an opinion and then change it once you get more evidence, guys. I feel like for whatever reason, you said this, and then we got more evidence, and this guy's better than I thought he was going to be. There's nothing wrong with that.
Falcons. That's what I said.
You said Falcons.
Oh, yeah, you did. You said
Falcons,
the Falcons
are
yesterday.
This year. That's what I said. There we go.
Falcons, man. It
took like 2 hours. I got it.
Yeah, because I said, F it, Denver.
Yes,
why not?
Yes.
So we'll see how long it takes for Binkley to text any of us. This comes from Harold Koontz. If this doesn't make you a little bit more nervous about our topic earlier about Simmons and Trey Smith, Jalen Moore at left tackle in practice today, Khalil Benson at right tackle day with Simmons and Smith out. Hunter Norzad is getting the shot at right guard, likely rotating with Caliendo.
Hunter Norzad, there you go.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Jump scare.
Peter Woods is going, I'm about to be a starter today.
Here's a tweet from the U.S. Department of the Interior. The National Park Week starts in 4 days. We were going to announce this yesterday, but out of respect, we waited. I mean, this guy's getting made fun of by the U.S. Department of Interior and the National Parks.
Nuts.
And it's Wednesday.
Yeah.
And add blueberries to the list of people getting sick from.
Blueberries now?
An E. coli outbreak linked to recalled frozen blueberries has sickened 12 people, including 4 who were hospitalized.
Can we just tell us what we can eat now? What the hell is going on? There's glass and ice cream. I can't eat lettuce. Broccoli, forget about. Now, what is this one? Blueberries? We're all
going to
go. Oh, yeah, these outshine bars that they have now, they have all been recalled because they have glass in them. Allegedly. And what is this? The blueberries have salmonella?
E. coli.
What's going on? Everything is now poisoned.
You know what hasn't been ruled out? Ramen noodles.
Yeah.
till I die, baby. We'll wrap this show up. Plus, we have more facts of the Binkley take of not liking Cyrus Allen.
Oh, good. Keep them coming.
Same number. Gave us some more stats. Let me tell you about stats, Dustman. I'll tell you the other side, Bink. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
That guy's an idiot, man.
Good morning, Kansas City. It's Saquon Thornton, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
On a Wednesday, not every day is sports. Can I ask you guys a question? What is your opinion on joint practices? Because I thought Lewis Riddick had a very funny, sarcastic tweet yesterday.
Yeah. Okay. So,
what was the tweet? First off,
I'll read it for you here. Let me find Lewis.
It was basically like, we're going to eliminate practice. We're going to eliminate joint practice. We're going to eliminate preseason. We're going to eliminate the regular season and just put the teams that were in the playoffs last year in the playoffs this year and call it good. Right.
Yeah. Because it says abolish joint practices, abolish preseason games, abolish mini camp and OTAs, abolish hitting too hard. Hell, maybe abolish regular season too and just pick the playoff teams based on what they did the year before.
Great.
Would that make everyone happy? Never heard so much complaining about everything in my life.
Love it, Lewis.
Yeah. No, it's great. It is fantastic. And that's why I said maybe we need to close these practices to the media too at training camp.
In joint practices because they've been practicing in dead heat and they're ready to kill somebody in a sport that's all about action.
Right. They're also hitting each other, guys. So fights are going to happen. I'm not one of these folks who goes, oh my God, ask Dana about the fight between the Saints and Chiefs. Okay, when he was playing. Ask him about that brouhaha that took place at River Falls. I think there actually is video of that on YouTube if you want to go look at the Chiefs and Saints brawl that took place in the early, I guess it was probably the early 90s back then, right? Mid-90s. And so you can go look at that. I think those joint practices are good. Andy Reid does not like them at all. Andy will never do a joint practice, never has done a joint practice, I don't think. Not here in Kansas City, maybe early in Philly he may have done one, but Andy is like, he's out on them. 28 of the 32 teams are doing joint practices this year. So that's obviously a huge portion of them. And if you're going to eliminate the preseason and continue to whittle down these preseason games, I almost feel like they're kind of a necessity just to get yourself facing somebody else. I mean, go back to your high school days. You didn't have preseason. You had scrimmages all the time. There's nothing wrong with doing something like that. Yeah, fights are going to happen. It's going to get messy and ugly. It's also the National Football League. These things happen. It's a violent sport.
It is funny that Brock Lesnar was a football player, and, of course, the Chiefs had to play them.
Oh, yeah, that was ridiculous, too.
And then not only that, you had Scott Steiner's son yesterday for the Saints was starting fights out there as well. And then, you know, we saw Ken Walker, as the text alludes to, like Ken Walker was being that dog out there early in camp as well, as you know, mentioned, like the tempers flare. Like, that's what you want to see. You don't want to see, like, nice hit guy. Like, no, you want to get ruffled up and pissed off and see what guy's out there.
What are the fans doing when that's going on?
Yeah.
We're all engaged.
I wouldn't F with that guy.
Yeah.
Somebody says, it's sad news about the San Diego Chargers center, however you pronounce his name, Dixon Mayas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, their center injured multiple ligaments in practice.
That sucks.
That's not good.
No, you hate to see it. And I'm not one of these guys that roots for injury for other teams because I like the league when it's at its best. Like, when we don't have Joe Burrow, the league is not as good when Joe Burrow is sitting on the bench.
And then you get all the bull crap of like, well, they played blah, blah, blah. It's like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know that was going to happen. You love history. Can you answer this question?
Sure.
1943, what two NFL franchises combined for a season during World War II?
Eagles and Steelers. They were
good
the Steagles.
Job. Nice. That was quick.
Yeah.
There we go.
There weren't many that combined, though. I mean, that's...
Oh, and Jason Kelsey's at training camp today.
Oh, good. Well, he's getting his info for that London game that the Chiefs aren't in.
Harold Kuhn's tweet says, Jason Kelsey's at training camp, currently finishing up an ice cream bar.
Love it. It's awesome.
That's why Harold is the best. I want to know what kind of ice cream bar it is.
9 a.m.
If you're up at training camp, so what?
I'm retired. F it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's my idol right there. It's 9 o'clock. I'm retired. I'm watching my younger brother bust his ass out here. Give me an ice cream bar.
Mac, whenever Bob hangs it up, and it's just you and I, we get to have a segment every day at 9 o'clock. Bob, you're retired. What are you eating at 9 o'clock?
I love it. I think it's fantastic. He's just sitting up there eating ice cream, watching football practice. Let's go.
Hell yeah. It's Let's go, Jason.
He's living his best life, isn't he?
Collecting pee.
Yeah.
Yeah. Flood out those AI. Isn't that what he was saying to do? Like to cool down the AI stuff? He was like...
Help the data centers? Yeah. Okay.
What was he doing?
You haven't
seen
the
commercial. I'm surprised you didn't see this.
Yeah. Oh, the one with the tight rears?
No.
Which I thought was a great commercial.
A whole commercial yesterday that launched a campaign about collecting pee. It's obviously fake. You're not trying to actually collect pee, but it was about data centers and stuff.
Jeez, oh, Pete!
A whole song. I'm surprised you didn't see it.
Where was it running?
It was on Twitter. I mean, it was just kind of.
I must have missed it yesterday.
Yeah, it was up your alley. Because
I'm surprised
it
wasn't
pee.
The lead. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even see it.
Now it's the pee.
Yeah. What's it for?
He's in a bathroom and he fills up a beer mug of urine.
AI data centers waste millions of gallons of water. That's why Liquid Death and Garage Beer decided to team up.
Binkley.
We want your pee to cool these data centers. We want your pee.
And that's all you get. There you go.
Well, that was good, though. No, I did see that now that you say it. I went right by it. I saw something about
fair.
Yeah, I saw something like Jason Kelsey and Garage Beer want your pee. I'm like, okay, I don't know what this is, but the song is really good. It's better than anything Cody's done.
This says from the 913, guys. Grown adults away from their spouses with no sex. Yeah, I'm going to fight somebody.
And that's the other thing. Yeah, you forget about that. That's a great point the text line, man. Like, you're in training camp. You haven't seen your wife or your girlfriend in a long time.
From the 660, Dusty, Binkley hated the Simmons pick and now the Allen pick. Binkley, but I nailed that Mahomes pick, Dust Man. I had him in 124, 128 mock drafts.
Yeah, you know what else happened? Joe Burrow once won at Arrowhead Stadium. You said we were going to come back and have more info on Binkley actually saying that guy, Allen, wasn't any good.
Yeah, because somebody said I need to have a conversation with my impressions of Denny and Binkley. Let me see if I can find that guy. I don't know where it went. We get so many texts at a time, it's just hard to find them when I go back to them. But it says from the 913, same number that said Binkley hated the Cyrus Allen pick. Him and Chris wanted Coleman from Mizzou.
Okay.
Okay.
So now we have real context.
That's a name and a college.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, that's legit right there. 100% Binkley does not like Cyrus Allen. Yay.
Do we bring Binkley back tomorrow? Well,
I think we're going to have to. I'm being serious. I think we are. Mac, I need you to find the audio of that comment, and so we can play it for Binkley and go, okay, you said this. How do you feel now?
Mm.
Oh, it's going to be fantastic. I can't wait.
Does he backtrack?
I
was in the draft. Didn't see him play in the field yet.
Yeah.
I just know he's pissed. Like, well, yeah, honestly, the last receivers come in the fifth round at Cincinnati, fail, blocked. Okay.
Well,
That's what I was trying to.
Well, I huge.
That guy sucks.
I need the audio. I gotta have it.
Yes, I will do some sleuthing.
Oh, man.
That's one thing I don't ask for a lot, Mac. I gotta have Binkley ripping on Cyrus Allen. Please be there.
And then the doc.
Yeah, well, his hand size, a little small, feet, not the best.
Chiefs take Cyrus Allen. Hate that pick. Don't like it.
Hey, he cuts better with scissors. Jay Binkley, gone. Go do something nice for somebody. You never know. It could change their day, their week, their month, their year. It is Simply Cool to Care. Rain, go away. Kansas City, stay kind, stay safe, stay dry, stay groovy. Coming up next, it's Cody and Gold's last day at camp. They will be joined by George Karloftis after practice. We will talk to you tomorrow on a Thursday. Binkley, you better be ready.